Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, it's Friday. You and I are chatting, and we've got some listeners out there and also a couple of questions.
Yes, we do have listener questions. First one comes from Michael. Hello, Bob and Jim. Bob, there was a strong downside reversal this week in the U.S. dollar index. Is this just a healthy pullback with higher highs ahead, or have we now reached a multi-year high with more downside for the U.S. dollar? Also, this equity market sell-off seems very overstretched. Is there another multi-month bear market rally ahead, and will the final plunge happen in the fall? Your friend, Michael.
Yeah, we'll do them one section at a time here. The U.S. dollar index, gosh, we've played that one well, because first half of last year, it set a base at sort of the 90 level, and then it rallied above 91, and that kind of concluded with by getting above the 20-week exponential moving average. And then when it got to 93, that really set the uptrend, in which case our target became the 103 level, which was a high a couple of years ago. And of course, the reason for it going up was because of financial difficulties. And when you have a credit crisis, the senior currency goes up, and the senior currency is the dollar. So, yeah, the rally was technically set up and reached our targets, and then because the pressures in the financial market were so strong, it really did get up and touch 105. But in doing so, the technicals were very overbought. Excuse me. So I think this is a correction. And also with this, there was another part of the question, yeah. Yeah, there's not, and the way it works is that this is just the first crack that is more than likely ended the great financial mania. And in which case, a lengthy post-bubble contraction will follow. So we're watching for signs that that is indeed happening. But then the irony is that the senior currency will remain chronically strong. I fully expect that to work out. So maybe this correction through to July or something like that, and then with the next sign of financial distress, up it goes again, which then contributes to financial distress. Now, how about the equity market sell-off? Overstretched, yeah, overdone. It was, we were getting all kinds of signs on that of oversold. And so it's a relief rally. And again, the U.S. dollar is going the right way as the financial markets recover, the dollar is going to correct. But this, again, is just interim stuff, intermediate stuff. And then he asks, will the final plunge happen in the fall? Yeah, it's probable. You've got seasonal forces. Keep in mind that the usual seasonal positive is from October until May. And then when the stock market got so overdone in December, January, it became vulnerable to bad news and had a lot of bad news. But anyways, it's sold off enough that we can get this rebound. But keep in mind that it is in the fall. If the markets are going to have a disaster, the fall is the probable time for it. So this is where we're saying, okay, maybe this rally into July and watch out afterwards, or if it fails in between, because there's all kinds of wild things happening out there. But yeah, Michael, thanks for the questions.
Question from George. Hi, Bob. Harry Dent says gold is part of the financial bubble and is going to drop to $900. Do you agree with this? Will the gold stocks drop 80% if the stock market drops 80%? Gold stocks do not seem to be a safe investment in a market downturn. They're just stocks! £99.
George, you got a good question there. I'm the one that's done, I guess, the most extensive historical work on gold. And in order to analyze it properly, you have to deflate the price of gold by the rate of inflation in the senior currency terms. It used to be sterling, and now it's U.S. And there's a very regular pattern to gold in a great financial bubble, and typically gold's real price goes down, which it did. It had a momentum high in July 2020, which we noted at the time, and also the gold stocks had a momentum high as well. So anyways, then as the bubble got really excited out there and around the world, gold's real price did go down, and now it's stabilized, and I think it's trying to turn up, but it hasn't broken out yet. Now, turning gold real price going up would be part of the post-bubble contraction, but the problem is that in such a contraction, the big stock market's going to go down, and it'll take the gold stocks with it. So that the golds would drop 80%, let's say measure from the recent high, unlikely that much. The other idea is that the stock market overall drops 80%. Well, hey, there's been some high-flying stocks, some new issues, some garbage out there that has already had that, but what we want to do is stay with the kind of like the S&P, and in a bear market, even of a post-bubble nature, the S&P might fall 50%, fall in half, whereas something like the NASDAQ or other lesser exchanges would, you know, do the 80 to 85% drop. So I base that on the fact that in London, following 1929, their index, representative index, fell in half, like 50%, whereas the Dow in New York, because it was a more of a junior exchange, it did fall over 80%. So you're right. Gold stocks are not a safe investment in a bear market, because they go down with the S&P. But then once the initial phase of the bear market for everything sort of stabilizes, then the gold stocks start to move. And we're fully expecting when we get that buy opportunity, maybe in October, maybe in November, who knows, but we'll see it when we see it, that then it would be followed with the gold sector during a multi-year bull market. And within this, the big excitement will be that it's not just gold stocks going up, but you could have something like the GDXJ outperforming the S&P by maybe a double. So this is where it gets really intriguing out there, and I like to fantasize about it, is that a consistent outperformance by the gold stocks would then bring fund managers in who would not normally position golds, but because of the consistency of the gains and the outperformance, they will then have to own some golds, and that'll even add more to the party. So, hey, we've got cloudy, rainy weather, maybe some storms before we go back into the golds, and then followed by a multi-year bull market. So I'm looking forward to it.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headlines that caught your attention this week. The first headline, FCC chair warns on investing in cryptos after the latest meltdown.
Yeah, that was the way that headline goes. But in the past, you've got to give this, some of these people like bank examiners or SEC officials or Treasury people, when some of the more responsible ones have come out and said, hey, the speculation is excessive, as it is excessive, but I didn't check back to see what the SEC chair had said beforehand, but it was just that this headline, the headline writer wanted to get a little shot that he comes up with a warning on cryptos after they'd had quite a hit. So, but hey, it gets the point across. Cryptos and Bitcoin got hit.
We also have a headline I noticed here. The G7 finance ministers have called for tougher rules on cryptocurrencies, which they say would hold the industry to the same standards as the rest of the financial system.
Ooh, that's a good one, Jim. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, kind of closing the barn door after the horse is gone. But, of course, the thing is that there may have been warnings by such agencies on the way up, but this one, it comes out on the way down. So I don't criticize these people at all. They're just, it's making a point.
Mm-hmm. Now, on This Week in Money, which comes out 10 o'clock Saturday, we talk to Ray Merriman, who uses geocosmic predictions to guess what's going to happen with the stock market. Or not really guess. It's pretty accurate, using the planets, not the stars. But he says the planets really do have influence in what's happening here on Earth.
Yeah.
And he says if cryptos can't get back to, or Bitcoin can't get back to 45,000, it is going to plunge tremendously further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I go so far, I've said that the game is over. The great bubble, and what made it one of the greatest participants within it was the crypto Bitcoin thing in all five previous bubbles back to 1720, you had leading stocks, or if you had some kind of a index or proxy, 10 times gain in a year and a half was typical. But here with the Bitcoin cryptos, the percent gains were huge on a sector that has big cap. Also, like in a previous bubble, 1873, you had some mining promotion stock, and it went from pennies to pounds, and again, a huge percentage gain, but it wasn't a big cap deal. So this is, the Bitcoin crypto has been an absolute record event, and it's coming apart. It's gone. Wait till you see what happens to these things in the fall.
Another headline that caught your eye. Gas prices reach record high as President Biden cancels Alaska oil gas leases.
Yep.
Is that not reading the room quite right?
Isn't that something? Now, I remember seeing film clips of him campaigning, and he walks and tells some children that they is definitely going to shut down pipelines and oil and gas production, and then the first step in office, that's what he did, shut down the XL pipeline and Keystone and all this other stuff. And this is a fascinating exercise. They think that carbon dioxide is causing the earth to fry. But whether they believe that or not doesn't matter. What it is an unbelievably bold move to control people. You see it in City Hall here in Vancouver for decades. They hate cars. And everything in the traffic flow will impede the use of cars. And I doubt that you could expand in the city planning agency if you didn't hate cars and love bicycles. So it's a political thing, and this is all part of the leftist mania to control things. But people are figuring this out. There's the elections in the states, midterm, November the 8th, and the polls are suggesting that a lot of people are waking up to just how much damage the Biden administration and the Democrats are doing. And I've suggested that it's not that Biden is senile or demented. If they had any other Democrat as president, it would be the same thing, because it's the extreme left has got control of the party and is out to destroy ordinary American life, the economy, and everything they can do, and it is fascinating to watch. And of course, we've got the same thing going on in Canada, but just not quite as much drama, where we have a young prime minister and shutting down wherever he can oil and gas production, and allowing production from dictatorships to come into the East Coast. And it's the same thing, and Biden is going and pleading with Iraq and Iran and, well, with Iran and Saudi Arabia and Venezuela, all dictatorships, for oil, while shutting down oil and gas production in, as I say, in the States for Biden and for Trudeau in Canada. So you have an old fool and you've got a young fool. It's got nothing to do with age. They're just foolish.
Now, friend of the show, Joseph Schachter, has suggested, because Quebec doesn't want any pipelines and we want to wean Europe off Russian natural gas, why don't we build a natural gas pipeline to Churchill, Manitoba, because that port now is virtually ice-free all year round, and we could send those giant golf ball container ships, off to Europe.
They have a shorter ice season, yep. And that would be ideal.
And it's a short route.
Yeah.
Going the polar way.
But then again, you see, the young Trudeau doesn't want to have any pipelines built in Canada at all. And he's got Bill C this or C whatever. They got a number on them. And I read an article about the other day. These are intended to prevent any further expansion of oil and gas exploration, production, and transportation.
One of the criticisms of natural gas is not so much when it's used, but when it's drilled for and then shipped by pipeline, there are leaks. But satellites show the vast majority of leaks are all in Russia, where they really don't have environmental standards. Meanwhile, in Canada and the U.S., where we do, and we know how valuable natural gas is, we're very careful not to let it escape.
Well, West Coast Transmission has been shipping gas from Alberta, Edmonton region, down the river valleys into the West Coast, since the late 1950s.
Since Elvis hit the scene.
I think the Trans-Canada Pipeline goes back to 1951.
Mm-hmm.
And no major disasters. And the only disasters in oil on the West Coast was the Valdez, and the skipper was drunk or something like that, and then the tanker crashed.
And since then, Bob, oil tankers are double hulled, and there has not been a major, not been a major disaster involving a double hulled tanker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's all in the minds of control freaks. And they want to have you impoverished and in servitude rather than freedom, free and prosperous. And you can't explain why these things happen. Gosh, I've described them all the way back to ancient Egypt, whereby... Now, here's a point that is good. In ancient Egypt, there would be cooling trends... Barbara Bell, an astronomer at Harvard, got interested in climate change way back when. And so 4,500 years ago in Egypt, you'd get a cooling trend and there'd be poor floods and poor harvests and famine and even starvation. But, of course, the governing classes lived in their palaces and lived and promised well, and they were protected by the palace guards with their spears. But the problem, as Bell points out, is that the palace guards were not of the governing classes, they were of the people. So when things got very desperate and push came to shove, the palace guards laid down their spears, and you had the public take over government, and food would be more fairly distributed. And then I had read about that in, I guess it was 1975, so that when you get into the 80s in Europe, Eastern Europe, where the governing classes, the apparatchiks, the nomenclature were all living very well and promising well, and ordinary folks were not doing well. And then there was an instant, I think it was November 8th or 9th, 1989, when then, of course, you wouldn't have palace guards in Eastern Europe then, but you had border guards on East Germany, and they just laid down their machine guns, and Germans went cross-border shopping. So what I've written an article on is that in the current charge to a dictatorship in so many countries, it's now becoming intolerable, too much for too many folks, and there's another popular uprising building. And in this case, you don't have palace guards, and definitely in the States on the southern border, you don't have border guards. But what I put forward, Jim, is that they're swamp guards. They're out there to protect the swamps in Washington, D.C. and in Ottawa, and that's where the reform will come. Somewhere some in the leftist media will see the daylight and start to act. So, and this, of course, would be prompted by the discovery of the next recession. So, out of the next financial storm, there could be another move to reform big and intrusive governments, both in Canada and in the U.S. So, hey, let's look to the bright side.
Another headline. Every time this has happened before, the Fed bailed out the market after a sharp losing streak. Yep. Well, we've had a sharp losing streak. Does that mean another Fed bailout from the plunge protection team?
I don't think it quite got as bad as that, and I don't think the Fed ever tightened anyways. But well, sure, the market, as we mentioned, is oversold and due for a bounce for an intermediate-type bounce. But I think a more severe hit in the fall would really get them all going. But the point of this headline was that when you had a sharp losing streak, and I don't know what the perspective is of this article was, but anyways, the conclusion was that the Fed would bail it out. And that's happy feelings, and I don't think it's going to happen. The rebound that's coming on now is natural, just because it got oversold. But again, it's a headline where somebody is confident that the Fed can prevent bad things from happening.
Now, of course, when really bad things happen to the market, they have been bailed out. No matter if that particular company that asks for help from the government has done nothing but buy back its own shares when evaluations are at record highs, and then when they start to lose, they go, but we might have to, please give us taxpayer money. But Bob, yep. At the same time, shouldn't they, instead of buying back their shares, have saved that money for a rainy day? And I'm thinking back to Ford Motor Company was the only one that didn't need to be bailed out the last time there was a major recession, because they kept some cash dry for a rainy day.
Yep. In times before such intrusive government actions in the economy, recessions, booms and recessions are regular. So what happened is that if you lost some money, say a small or a medium-sized business or even a big business, you lost some money, knew it. So then on the next boom, you would raise some money. And this is what Andrew Carnegie did in the steel business. He was always able to raise some money in the good times so that in the bad times he could buy another steel company, or he could afford to put in the new and latest modern way of making steel. So Carnegie did it right. He was a savvy businessman. So the problem then with intrusive economics and intrusive central banking is they're trying to prevent the recession, which then adds to the boom when the boom is on. And as we see here, we had some headlines last week about people in playing the day trading being wiped out. And then on Reddit, they were talking about, oh, it's so bad I might have to commit suicide. So the idea of preventing recessions adds to the wildness of the boom, and that adds to the hit. So it's not a more gentle process of educating businessmen and bankers and traders and investors by a more modest business cycle. Now, there's one thing I can end with here, Jim, and that is that during the 1920s, the Federal Reserve determined that inflation wasn't strong enough. They were fearful of deflation, so they kept a deliberately easy monetary policy, and they didn't have a clue what happens when you're in a world of a financial bubble, a financial mania, which then developed and culminated in 1929. So the Fed was reading the economy wrong. Now here, for most of the last decade, remember, the Fed was saying they had to keep inflation at 2%, otherwise it would be deflation. So they were deliberately and chronically easy for too long, not realizing that we were in the time when a great financial mania could brew up. And this one has been even bigger and wilder than in 1929. So it's the same pattern. And they can never learn. It's unbelievable. I should write a book on it. Hey, yeah.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, always fun. And I like the questions that come in, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.